Well, good evening. It's good to see each and every one of you this evening. To answer Shaman's question there a few minutes ago about how long it was going to be, I remember Mr. Harold Carter standing up here several years ago, and some of you probably remember it as well. And I really enjoyed listening to him. I knew him outside of church, and he did my taxes, and I always enjoyed going to get my taxes done, believe it or not, because I just liked to listen to him talk. And he had a real southern drawl, and he was kind of a small man, and I just enjoyed being around him, and him and his wife kind of bickered back and forth. It was kind of comical to listen to him, and he stepped up here, and he took this big gold watch off his arm, and he laid it up on the podium, and he said, "I just need a few minutes of your time. I'd like to make two or three important points this morning." And that's kind of the way I always felt if I ever got up here, that I'd just take a few minutes and make a few points, and I think that would be all I'd need to say. So that's what I'm going to try to do today, is just take a few minutes. You see, on the board, forgiveness, I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about forgiveness. I think it's one of those things that's real easy to say, "I forgive you," but in reality, we know sometimes forgiveness is a very difficult thing to do. And forgiveness, of course, it comes in a lot of different packages, I guess. You know, it can be anything from someone saying something insulting or making an offhanded comment that you don't appreciate. Or it may be betrayal of a spouse or something a little more serious, a longtime boyfriend or girlfriend and a breakup. Or it could be a terrible crime, as we're going to talk just a little bit about this evening. They just come in, you know, sometimes we're faced with, in this life, with a lot of difficult things. And it comes in just, they're different degrees, I guess. I've kind of been offended a few times with insults and things like that that maybe people didn't even mean to make. But you still have to deal with those. And I've kind of probably hurt people's feelings before too, accidentally. And so as we go through this lesson, I'd just like to answer a few questions, or at least try to make a few points about why we forgive, how we forgive, and how do you know if you forgive. And I think actually the last one is probably the hardest. The why we forgive, and I think if you look at Matthew 6:14-15, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You know, if we're looking at why we forgive, we can almost just stop right there. I mean, that pretty well answers the question right there. I mean, why do we forgive? Well, if we want to go to heaven, if we want our Father to forgive us, then we must forgive others. And we could almost just say, you know, that's the end of the lesson. Of course, we know it's not quite that simple. There's a lot of things in my life I mean to do that I don't get done. You know, I mean sometimes to save more money, and sometimes I don't do that. All my life I've said I need to be better organized, and I don't accomplish that. And so just simply saying I'm going to be more forgiving doesn't always work, does it? You know, we must be willing to forgive others, though, to be worthy of such a favor from the Lord. And I think that's what he's saying there, that we must be willing to forgive others. And if we look in Acts, that's several verses. I'm going to just read it here. If you want to read along, we could accidentally make a typing error in that. So if you want to read along, I'd like to read there Acts 52. And Acts 7, verse 52, and it says, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayer and murderer, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they had heard these things, they were cut to their hearts, and they gashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." I think of Stephen, that one always just bothers me to read. I think of Stephen. I think there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of ways to leave this earth, but the ones I don't want is I never want to be stoned. There's something about that just really bothers me. That'd be a terrible way to go. I don't know about you, but we lived on a farm and we had enough wet corn cob fights and watermelon fights and sweet potato fights, and we've been hit with enough things that felt like rocks that were not as bad, that I don't want to be beat to death with stones. And that one really, it bothers me, the fact that anyone would have that much hate in their heart. But I absolutely admire Stephen to be in such a predicament as he was and to turn around and say, "Lord, forgive them." That would be a goal that I would have. I can't say that I could ever live up to that lofty goal but that's certainly one that I think that's a goal that we maybe should have in life, and that'd be a tough one. Some people can't handle the truth very well. That came out of a movie. You can't handle the truth. Well, I think that's what happened to these gentlemen here, is they couldn't handle the truth, and of course they turned on Stephen, and that's kind of a different point. But the important point of this is I want to make is that forgiving attitude, that heart of forgiveness that Stephen has. It's amazing, isn't it, that he could turn around and say, "Lord, forgive them." You know, did Stephen forgive him, giving these people, though? Did Stephen say anything that to the Lord? Did it get these gentlemen to heaven that were throwing rocks at him? I don't think it did. It was good that he was forgiving, but I don't think it got them there. I think they had to make some changes in their life, some repentance and change in their life to get to heaven. So I guess my point with this is those people who mistreat us still have hope of a home in heaven. And when we start thinking about why we should forgive, well, you know, if we don't forgive the people who mistreat us so terribly, they may end up in heaven and not us. In other words, let's make sure we remember what that first verse told us, is that we have to be able to forgive others their trespasses. And when you think about that, you know, we can go through life and hold a grudge because somebody done something terrible to me. But in the end, if we're not careful, that person can end up in heaven. If we spend our life holding a grudge, we may not be there to see them. So it makes, I think that just that thought makes an important point to me that we must forgive. And it's unlimited forgiveness. In Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22, said, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times." Verse 22 says, "Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until seven times seven." Unlimited forgiveness is what we have to have. We have to have a heart that is willing to forgive unlimited. It's endless, I guess is what I think exactly is what he's saying. And I often wondered, why? Why do we have to give people who mistreat us unlimited forgiveness? The Lord says so that's all we really need to know. But the Lord put that in there, I think, for a reason. You know, I heard someone, I think maybe even here, said the other day that our thoughts can become obsessions. If we go through life with a chip on our shoulder, with a grudge held against someone, we have this ill will, this anger, this revenge, and I don't think you can go through life and grow as a Christian with that attitude. I think we have to go through life. I think we have to forgive people if we want to grow as a Christian. And if we carry this anger around, it'll turn to ill will, and I think it causes a variety of problems for us. You know, I think for one problem, one of the problems it may cause is physical health problems. You know, you hear of occasionally where people, you know, they have physical problems just because of hypertension, high blood pressure. All those things are, I think, connected to anger and with someone who has a grudge held against someone. I think we can turn that into mental health problems. I think it can be problems with us as far as getting along with our family. I think if you're holding a grudge and you have this all in your heart and in your mind, I think you'll have trouble getting along with people in your workplace. And I think it's just a relationship problem if we go through life with these thoughts of anger and towards our fellow man. And obviously it'll lead to spiritual problems. which is even more problem, which is could be even more of a problem. So I think the Lord is telling us why. If we're going to grow as a Christian, I think we must be able to forgive. I think we must be able to move on and drop that chip off our shoulder and not hold grudges. And at some point, we just have to let it go and move on. How do we forgive? I think it was my next question. In Colossians 3 and 13, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We know that even when we were living in sin, Christ gave His life so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. He set the perfect example for us. You know, He sacrificed when all was living in sin, and we all have sinned. We're human. We've come short, but He shed His blood for us. And so the part about loving your neighbor is not an optional thing. He loved us. He first loved us, and we must love Him back. I see occasionally, some of you probably remember several years ago, there was a church in South Carolina, and they had met, and they were doing this Bible study, and a young man named Ruth came in, and he started shooting. And for no other reason, he came in and shot up that church and the people in that church for no other reason than the fact that they were a different race. They had a different color skin. And he came in with so much hate, and he shot up that church and shot up those people. And he told some of them, I'm going to leave you to tell the story. That's how much hate that young man had in his heart. And that's what those people listened to. After he had shot this one lady's name was Felicia Sanders, and shot some of her good friends, but he also shot her son. And he tells them before he leaves, I'm going to leave you to tell the story, like it was something he wanted to be proud of or promote. And I just thought how hard that would be to deal with. A little while later, they interviewed her and they asked her, and she said that she forgave him. And they said, how do you forgive him? She said, well, honey, we just have to. You know, we just have to. And sometimes when I start thinking about how do you forgive people, it may just start with the notion or with the fact that we have to. You know, it's not an optional thing. If we think, oh, I'm never going to forgive him for that, then we never will. But if we decide we have to forgive, if we make up our mind we have to forgive, then we can. As long as we go into these situations with the right frame of mind. You know, sometimes I kind of dread getting up and going to work, but I know I have to. Sometimes I dread, you know, different things, but I know it's, you know, I used to dread getting up and feeding the kids at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I knew I had to. Well, if we go into these type of situations and we know we have to forgive, then we can. We can do what we know we have to do. And I kind of like her response there because she said, because we have to. And so I think that's a pretty good frame of mind to have. If we truly want to forgive. In John, and actually I'd like to read a couple extra verses there. I'd like to go to John chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And he again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they that heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest and even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in his midst. You know, if we're looking for ways that how we might forgive someone, and we're having a hard time of it, you know, this is not a bad place to start. You know, if I was perfect, I might be able to look at you and say, look down my nose at someone else and say, you know, I don't have to forgive you, but I'm not perfect. And I look around this room and I know no one here has lived a perfect life. we've all come short. So with that in mind, we need to have a little empathy. We need to be able to identify with those who have made mistakes in their lives. We have to share those feelings and emotion of empathy for those people who have come short. In some cases, it may not be easy at all. But in some cases, we may have done worse to people than those we're holding the grudge against. In other words, I may have done worse things than the people that I'm holding this grudge against have done to me. And so, at some point, we just have to have some empathy for them and realize we're not perfect. This lady was not perfect. Those people accusing this lady obviously were not perfect. And so maybe that's where our forgiveness can start from. That may be how we start. I don't know if you've ever stuck your foot in your mouth. I have so many times. I've done it a few times, and I realize, sometimes I don't even realize it until later that I've hurt someone's feelings. And I just think, I just wish I could turn the clock back and do that conversation over and start again. Start by removing my foot and just start over and say it in a different way, and just pretend at least it never happened, a do-over. Now, we used to play volleyball. If it hit the net or if it hit the tree or whatever that we were playing under, we got do-overs. Well, in my life, I'd like to have a few do-overs. And maybe the person that you're trying to hold a grudge is, maybe they just need a do-over in life. And maybe that's how we can forgive and move on. We have to start somewhere, I guess. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It doesn't mean that we can just turn it off like a faucet and say it never happened, can we? I wish some things I could just block out of my mind, just like shutting off the car, or turning off the water spigot, or turning off the lights. Boom, it's gone. We can't do that. We can't just shut those things that's happened to us off. And I'm not trying to pretend that things that have happened are easy to forgive. I'm not trying to say, I know they're not easy to forgive. And I'm not saying it's okay what someone may have done. If you're struggling with that, I'm certainly not trying to say that. And I'm not even saying that if someone's done something to you, don't press charges if it's something of a legal issue. I think I can press charges against someone who steals my car, but forgive them of that just the same. As we start looking at life, it doesn't mean these things didn't happen, but we still have to figure out how we can forgive them of it. Matthew 22:39-40. Well, I want to back up on that verse too, because it's a verse we've talked about a little bit in here lately. I'm going to back up to 37 and just read the whole thing. And I think probably all of you know these verses. In verse 37, Matthew 22 and verse 37, "And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and all the prophets." When we look at these verses, if we truly love our neighbor, if we truly love our fellow man, if we truly want to grow as a Christian, then we have to move on. Another incident that I came to my mind as I was going through this, and some of you probably remember this one. Several years ago, there was a man abducted three young girls. He kept them held captive in a house for several years and just abused them terribly. And at some point, one of those girls got loose and run out and summoned help, and they got loose after that. And one of the girls, after a long time and a lot of therapy, her therapist made her realize that she had to forgive. She had to forgive that guy for what he did. The gentleman who did that, his name was Ariel Castro. I think he hung himself in prison, if I remember correct, sometime after that. But she said it took her a long time and it took her a lot of help, but she realized that he had some mental problems. A mental condition. And she said that she had to forgive him, and they said, "Well, how are you doing it?" And she said, "Well, I guess I think of it this way. If I would I want someone to forgive me if I'd done something wrong?" I think all of us probably would. If I said something to hurt someone's feelings, which is not anything compared maybe to this, but I'd want them to forgive me of it. I think most of us, I think all of us would. And so that's how she forgave that guy. She said, I would want him to forgive me if I'd have done something wrong. Most of you have probably seen this. I don't know who the author of it is. I think it just says unknown. But there's about three or four things in that that I think is really good. And I think Robbie may have used this. I've seen this somewhere before. I don't know who used it, but I've seen it somewhere. Maybe it made its round on Facebook, Christy thought. But anyway, I originally said there was four things, but there's actually 5 points in that I think we could learn from. The first line, always pray, we could almost stop there. You know, when we need answers, that would be our first, that would be my first go-to, is always pray. I always pray to have eyes that see the best in people. And I think as Christian, that's what we need to seek to do, is have eyes that see the best. Yes, I may have made mistakes in my life, but there's better things, hopefully, about me. And I think we could say that about everyone here. You know, we have made mistakes, but there's good things about me. We don't just have to dwell on the bad things. I always pray for a heart that forgives the worst. You know, I think that's a wonderful point as well, that we need to be looking, you know, be able to forgive the worst. I always pray for a mind that forgets the bad and a soul that never loses faith in God. That's a few words that I think we could spend a little time thinking about and applying to our lives. I think every one of us could. I know I need to work on some of these things. You know, always see the best in people, a heart that forgives the worst, a mind that forgives the bad, and a soul that never loses faith in God. Pretty good words, I think, to be able to apply to our lives. Some people, you know, I'm sure there's people sitting there probably think, you haven't been what I've been through. And I haven't. But you haven't been through what I've been through. And actually, you may have been through a lot worse. I've had a pretty easy life in a lot of ways. But the truth is, it doesn't matter what we've been through, you know, our goal still has to be forgive. That's what we have to spend our time working on. And different situations affect us differently at different times in our life. What would affect me one way in high school would totally, you know, maybe have absolutely no effect on me today. You know, we change as we grow, and as we change and grow, we must learn and we must apply to that is to always forgive. In my last slide, or next to the last slide, how do we know? You know, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14. How we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. You know, I think a starting place for each of us might be to be patient with each other as we make mistakes. You know, only, and as far as when it comes to forgiving, you know, how do we know we forgive? Well, I don't know if you've forgiven everyone that's offended you. You don't know if I have. We each have to look inside our thoughts and inside our minds, and only I can tell about myself, and only you can decide about yourself. But I can tell you when you haven't forgiven someone, when you have these really strong feelings of resentment towards someone. You know, if you just really resent someone, you just can't hardly stand to look at them, that type of thing, then you need to continue working. If you have these motivations towards revenge or a desire to retaliate against someone that, you know, you have these feelings that I just really like to cut his tires. You know, if you start having those type of feelings, you have not forgiven. And you need a lot of work. And we need to keep working on that. And, you know, sometimes people don't show, you know, they don't show remorse, and that makes it much more difficult. That maybe they just don't understand even what you're thinking about. But I think with patience and long-suffering towards our fellow man, I think we can grow into even understanding and having empathy for those people. What can we do about it if we do have these feelings? You know, I think, first off, we have to kind of accept the truth if we're still struggling with forgiveness. I mean, if that hasn't taken place in our lives, then I think we need to first off admit that and understand that and know that we need to work on it. I think the first place we start is prayers, a closeness with God. You know, if prayers once a day is not enough for you, then you may need to pray twice a day, three times a day. You need to The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. So unlimited amount of prayer. Prayer will only bring you a closeness with God and make you better understand your fellow man, I think. You know, when we read verses like those verses a few minutes ago that talk about loving your fellow man, if we continue to read that and study that and we try to apply it to our lives, I think that'll take us a long way in life. Talks with Jesus, I think, certainly help. Talk about it with someone else. You know, if you're still struggling and you're still having trouble with forgiveness, you know, a talk with someone. Now, I would choose who I talk to really wisely, because I don't think you want to go around spreading your feelings to just everyone, because it might be all over the community. And that's probably not going to help the situation. But there's people out there that you could sit down and talk to. Possibly here, Robbie, of course. I would recommend Janice Miller. I don't know if she would recommend that or not, but I know Janice Miller and a few people who have had training in those areas that could actually probably help you, or at least point you to the people who could help you. I know there's a lot of people that would like to help you if you're struggling with these things. But sometimes you just need to talk to yourself. You know, I read somewhere that it said that if you're just having trouble forgiving someone, then you first off need to just tell yourself that. You know, just absolutely come right out and say, I'm struggling. Lord, I cannot forgive. And that might help you along your path. But there is ways to forgive. I'm going to go back to the very first verse we started with. It says in Matthew 6 and verse 14, it says, "For if you give men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And that would be a good place to base your beginning and starting place. You know, and the good thing, or one of the things about forgiveness, is it might be something that's small. Sometimes the things that bother me the most, that I run through the most, are very small. They're very petty. I don't know if you ever got caught on something someone said that was real petty. It really wasn't much at all, but it just really, boy, irritated you. Got you right down to the core. Some of the things like that in our life that we just have to push those things aside and forgive. Well, I'd like to close this evening with an invitation. You know, it's part of our growing as a Christian is forgiving. I think for each of us, though, and some of us may be in different places in our life, some of us may have not started along that path to being a Christian. If you're here this evening, you've heard the Word, you believe, you're willing to repent and confess Jesus Christ, and willing to be baptized, you can start that tonight. You can become a Christian and start growing as a Christian. Or if you have drifted away, if you've made mistakes, if you've done things that you shouldn't have done and you feel you need prayers, won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing?